Everybody, welcome to the Dadon Tolbert Show. I'm your host, Dadon Tolbert. Got another good show for you this evening. Somewhat of a different topic than you guys may be used to hearing from us over the years. Tonight we're going to talk about a very socially important topic, which is abortion this evening. Many of you know we've covered all types of topics over the years, too many to name, over 1,000 shows at this point. And one of the shows that stuck out at me, one of the topics that stuck out that we had never really examined in detail, I mean, we've spoken around it and talking about various relationship issues and topics, but it was abortion and the epidemic of abortion, as I'm going to call it, because we're going to read you some statistics a little bit later on that were surprising to me. I make it my business to be aware of what's going on specifically in our community, but some of these numbers surrounding abortion in the black community are just absolutely astounding, astonishing, and just really a hot mess all around. And I think that for far too long, issues like this have been ignored by, you know, nationally by the mainstream media. But what's even more important to me is that they've been ignored in our community. You know, you don't hear your pastors talking about, you know, the even members of the congregation having abortion. You don't hear Tavis Smiley, Michael Bazden, Steve Harvey, Cornell West. You don't hear these guys, Jesse Jackson, the Al Sharpens, our so-called, you know, black leaders, talking about the leading cause of death in the African-American community, which is and happens to be abortion. So we're going to talk about it this evening. Definitely would encourage you all to feel free to call in with your views, 646-200-0366. Hit the number one on your keypad. And I'm joined this evening by Reverend Ann, who has been with us a few times over the last few weeks, gotten rave reviews. Welcome to the show, Reverend Ann. What's going on?
Hey, Dadon. How are you tonight?
I'm good. What do you think about abortion? What are your thoughts on tonight's topic?
You know, I think that it's not as, let me say this first, I am totally against abortion. I don't think that it's within the will of God as to what we should be doing if we find ourselves pregnant. But I also am, I've lived long enough to know that life isn't black and white. So I'll stop there, and I'll talk more about that as we continue.
Absolutely. We'll definitely talk more about that. We want to just, you know, definitely a lot of online stuff to talk about. You know, many of you saw a lot of the debates going on the Facebook page and the Friends of the Dadon Tolbert Show group on a number of various issues today. So we're going to touch on those for you. Shout out to everyone who participated in them. One of those being, and first let me just, before we go any further, got to say what's up to everybody who tuned in on Monday night. We had a great time, Ask Dadon Advice Mondays, and it turned into an impromptu Beauty Shop Talk Wednesdays. If you guys missed it, everybody, some people are calling that one of the best shows ever. I mean, you know, I had a great time. You guys did too. We were talking about Facebook dating, the do's and don'ts, Facebook etiquette, you know, what various things mean, whether it's poking right on people's walls, Facebook passwords being shared in relationships. Definitely a very informative show as well as an entertaining show. We had an all-star panel of females. Never before has a panel been assembled, in my opinion, that gave such, that where we heard such insightful advice. It was we had myself there, obviously. Safina was here co-hosting with me. Courtney called in, who was very popular in the group. Amanda was there with us Who am I missing? You know, definitely, this absolutely crazy show. Go ahead and check it out. Bougie Girl was on the line as well. I mean, everybody was just calling in throughout the whole show. So definitely great show. If you missed it, check out the archives at DeDonTolbert.com. You can download that particular show on iTunes as well. And what about you? I mean, you're actually new to Facebook. You just actually created a profile. What are your thoughts on it so far?
It is, I will say, better than when I tried to do it before. One of the reasons that I wouldn't get on Facebook is because I thought it was evil. And so I don't think it's evil. I've rethought about it, and now, just like guns or just like money, it's not Facebook that's evil. It's how people utilize it that makes it. But it can make it evil, but it can also be used for great things as well.
Absolutely. Great. Very well said. And that's really what the whole point of Monday night's show was. Everybody who heard it just talk about the ups, the downs, the positives, the negatives, and, you know, how you can get it to work for you. So let's talk about a couple other things that happened today. I was on Facebook, and I actually saw somebody posted in the group, and shout out to everyone who complimented me on my flyer, which is the new banner. Thank you. I take full credit for that myself. And I'm not a graphic designer or anything like that, but I'm rather proud of myself. Check it out, Friends of the Dedon Tolbert Show group. Go ahead and add yourself if you're not already in there. But somebody posted in the group an article about Taraji P. Henson. And people have been talking about this all throughout the show, and it kind of, all throughout the afternoon. And I have a big problem with, I shouldn't even say that. I don't have a big problem with it, but it's an article, a spread, where she is posing nude in Allure magazine. And I guess I was a little bit disappointed myself because, you know, in today's society, there are very few positive, respectable, classy African-American role models. Or, you know what I mean? Women that young girls can look up to and say, okay, she's a positive image of a celebrity. She's somebody that I could in some way emulate, if that's what I'm into. You know what I mean? I don't recommend that anyway. I think parents should be their kids' role models, but we all know how it goes. A lot of times, these celebrities do end up being role models. So it's always good to see somebody who embraces that role and does the right thing with it. It's really only a handful of them. And I thought that Taraji P. Henson was one of those women, you know, this whole time. Unfortunately, you know, she you know, did a spread where she is, I don't know if you guys saw it, check it out on my page in the group if you didn't already, but she did a spread where she's nude, you know, and it's like you basically see her bare butt. Like, that's, you just see it. She's laying on her stomach. You see the outlines of her breasts, and you know, and what was more, even more disturbing than the actual picture, than the spread, was many women's responses to the picture in calling it classy, calling it tastefully done, calling it nice, sexy, glamorous. And it just kind of, you know, we talk about these issues every day, but it opened my eyes even more as to exactly how much work we have to do in the black community. I mean, the fact that there's anybody who would see a naked woman, you know, exposing her bare bottom for millions of people to see, and to have women co-signing that, saying that there's anything even remotely sexy or classy or tasteful about that, to me is a serious problem, and it has to do with a serious, serious lack of parenting in that particular household and in many households across the community. But Ann, start off with you. First of all, did you get a chance to see that? If not, just from what you've heard about it up until this point, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm taking a look at it now, and you know, I'm not surprised, Zaydon. I'm just not, because that is where our society's direction is going. We have become a society of you know, anything goes. Whatever you feel like doing, as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else, you know, hey, go for it. And we have sexualized everything, and nothing is off limits. So am I disappointed that she has chosen to do that? Yes. But am I surprised? No. I'm definitely not surprised.
Yeah, somebody said that I guess her 15 minutes of fame is up. And, you know, I guess I don't knock anybody. I know what it's like out here, you know, being in media myself. A lot of times, you know, specifically it's hard out here. You know, it's a lot of competition being that it girl in the, you know, on television or in movies. And, you know, you kind of feel the need to put yourself out there to stay relevant, to stay, you know, what in a place where society would label you as being hot or, you know, or sexy. And I mean, she's getting a little bit older. And I mean, I understand where that comes from, but I just think we as entertainers, you know, role models, we have to, you know, even the elders, you know, of the black community, so to speak, we have to be a little bit more responsible to, you know, and be a little bit more aware of the message that we're sending out there and projecting into the, you know, these youth out here. I see Amanda on the line. Amanda, what's going on with you? I know you saw the picture of Taraji in the group. Any thoughts on that?
Hi, you guys. Yeah, I haven't actually seen the photos. I just saw the face of it, but I can only imagine what it looks like from Baby Boy. But it is a disappointment, definitely, because I do view her as, like, you know, a businesswoman, someone that represents us as black women. So it's a disappointment, but then I'm not shocked because most likely she's doing it for money. You know, you get a lot of money for that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is. Matter of fact, Ann, how do you feel about that? You know, a lot more and more celebrities doing things just from a strictly financial standpoint to make a you know, an impression.
You know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And so, unfortunately, we've become a people who will do anything for money because money has become our god. Unfortunately, it's a sad fact, but it is a fact. And so we just need to get back to the roots of where our values are. We've lost our values. We've lost what's important. Our kids are out of control. And then we wonder why our kids are out of control. Our kids are out of control because we are out of control as adults. And so if we want to look at what's going on with our children, look in the mirror.
Right, absolutely. This is in fact, I like every take a minute and just you hit on something. And I get a lot of people on Facebook, you know, being very selective about what posts they choose to comment on. I mean, you guys are on my page. I mean, I post about everything from God to politics to race to sports to entertain. I mean, you know, there's nothing I focus on. I talk about everything, relationship advice. And it's funny to always watch who comments on what. You know, certain people come out of the woodworks on certain posts, others on, you know what I mean? Some people just stay silent until they have something negative to say. And a few people that on that particular thread, I happened to click on their page after they were kind of co-signing, hey, look, you know, she's sexy and it's tastefully done, and, you know, saying there's nothing wrong with it. And I kind of stayed away from them, but I just kind of made a mental note to myself, like, wow, those women were the same women on Facebook, many of them single moms who had their entire breast exposed. They themselves had their, you know, their butts exposed, main profile pictures in bikinis, you know, straddling a motorcycle, you know, just crazy stuff, you know, in a manner in which they're being viewed as, you know, having a lack of respectability. So I think that, like what you just said, Ann, is 100% on point. I mean, you've got to look at these parents. As we get into tonight's topic on abortion, last Monday night we talked about teen pregnancy, and, you know, Wednesday, I believe. But, you know, we really have to start looking at these parents, specifically in the black community. Every single day I'm seeing more and more women with you know, single moms posing half naked in one pic, and then the next picture over is them, you know, cuddling with an infant or with a child. And that is a problem. These kids are going to grow up doing the same exact things, you know. And it's, if we want to see this change, this great change that everybody talks about, it's got to start with us. It's got to start in the household. So yeah, well, I mean, and that was that. You know, I don't want to spend all night talking about Taraji, because Taraji's a grown woman. You know, I don't. She's not the issue. The issue is the future. You know what I mean? How these kids, because right now you guys think things are bad. Things are, we haven't seen anything. You know what I mean? Imagine how these little 4-year-olds, these 5-year-olds are going to be in 15 years. You know, you think that, you know, so many, 70% of black women are single, are the abortions, I mean, all this stuff is just going to triple and quadruple. You know, think like a man, this whole epidemic of, you know, causing women to bring about a certain way of thinking, which is going to lead to a certain type of behavior. We haven't seen anything yet. The real problem is yet to come, which is to be honest with you, it's a really scary thought. Any last thoughts on that before we move on?
No, I'm just totally in agree with you, and I just wish and hope that we as women would take back our own power, because we've given it away, and we think we have to do things in order to make it, and we really don't. We set the tone. And no one can do anything to us that we don't allow, but it's really up to us to take it back and stop being pawns or looked at as body parts or just sexual beings to be looked at and used.
Right. Yeah, you really got to start having, you know, a higher level of respect for your body. And I think that's, in the, you know, as we talk more about relationships and, you know, in future shows, I mean, that's the main thing that these men are looking for when it comes to wives and settling down. So definitely just, you know, like I said, fathers, you know, be there to tell these women, hey, look, this is not, or these little girls, this is not acceptable. Moms, be that example that your kids can look up to and say, okay, this is not how mom is, and so this is not how I'm going to be. So, yeah, that's, you know, just want to kind of start off with that. Let's talk about some of this other stuff out here. I gave some relationship advice that I think will help a lot of women as we transition into this conversation about abortion. This will help avoid a lot of abortions. This will help avoid a lot of teen pregnancies, a lot of unwanted pregnancies, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of heartbreak. This is what I said on Facebook. I said, ladies, when a man tells you that he's not into titles or commitments, that basically is not, you know, just how he feels, or that's not just something that he's not into. That basically means he's not interested in a commitment with you, okay? Not that he doesn't want commitments. He just doesn't want that commitment with you, okay? And most likely that means he's going to be having sex with multiple other women. You guys understand what I'm saying to you? This is not rocket science. This isn't brain surgery. He's having sex with us. The only reason why men don't commit, okay, is because they don't want to claim you so they can feel comfortable and be able to operate freely in regards to other women. That's, I mean, that, to me, that's common sense, you know. And, but for many women who have ignored that red flag that pops up, and they just decide to go ahead with it, still have sex with them, that behavior is leading to the abortions. Because what happens is, again, keep in mind, he's telling you, okay, I'm not into commitment, meaning I don't want you. I don't want anything significant with you, okay? But we can still have sex. And so as you allow yourself to get into that situation, you become comfortable. 1 month turns into 3 months. 3 months turns into 6 months. 6 months turns into a year with no commitment because, again, keep in mind, he said he told you that he's not into commitments. Well, now you guys are now having unprotected sex. All right? Next thing you know, you forgot to take a pill, if you were on the pill at all, and now you're pregnant, right? And now you have all these feelings for this guy who, again, go back to the beginning, doesn't want you. If he wanted you, he would be in the commitments. So now what do we have? We got the menace to society syndrome. You know what I'm saying? Where he gets the chick pregnant, the dude says, oh, no, I don't. That ain't mine. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. She's like, well, you're the only person I'm having sex with. He's like, well, I ain't got nothing to do with that. So then he rolls out. Now you have a deadbeat dad on your hands. So now, because you're already struggling financially, you're thinking that at least he would be there to help out. Now you have nobody. You can't even take care of yourself. So how are you going to take care of a baby? Your mind starts wondering. The devil starts planting lies into your head, saying you might as well just go ahead and kill this baby, you know, and you believe that lie. So now you're making an appointment at the clinic. You understand? All because you guys got to look at the root of it. Everybody wants to talk about Roe versus Wade and should it be legalized, and people talking crazy stuff about cases of rape and incest when that's less than 5% of all abortions in the black community, you know, but that's neither here nor there. The point is, it started with you having sex with somebody who did not want you from the beginning. And I think that's what everybody, for whatever reason, is afraid to talk about. You know, everybody wants to talk about these deadbeat dads, and in the end, we'll talk about them, and we have talked about them, but the reality is, ladies, stop having sex. You know, if I have to be the only black man in the country that's not afraid to say that, black women, stop having sex, you know? And I don't want to hear any, no, what about, it's not about the men. It's about stop having sex. Black women have more abortions than any other race in this country. And we'll get into statistics a little bit later on that will blow your freaking eyeballs out. So that's what it comes down to. Stop allowing yourself to be used and abused and hurt by these men. And then these numbers will start going down. Again, that's not rocket science either. I mean, I don't know. And is it just me or, you know, why is that such a hard concept for specifically black women to get?
I'm not sure. You know, let me say this. I think it's such a multifaceted issue. I think that we as black women have sex for so many reasons. But one of the main reasons is that we're looking for love in all the wrong places. And because the majority of us, unfortunately, come from very dysfunctional families, and our fathers were not the fathers that could give us the love to show us who we were or who we are, which are beautiful queens and daughters who were made by God, that we then go out looking for that void. But the only person that can truly feel that is God. And so I think it's just a lack of loving yourself, knowing what your self-worth is, and then sticking to that. We've so bought into the lies of society, and I think that's a big part of it.
It's a huge part. Matter of fact, and also having a background in the church, being trained in the church, how do you feel about, I mean, I'm sure you can agree there's a very small percentage of even pastors that preach on, specifically on abortion.
Well, I think that a lot of preachers, or a lot of pastors, I should say, avoid a lot of what they would call very sensitive subjects for a number of reasons. I think some of it is lack of understanding of what the root causes are. Some of it is fear of what the parishioners will think. You know, churches are still very, very conservative and will not talk about a lot of the issues that are killing our communities. But unfortunately, the lack of knowledge from the pulpit is part of the problem of why our community is dying. So,
yeah. And that's really what we're here to do. You know, with this show, guys, understand, you know, we haven't sugarcoated anything over the last 4 years, and we're definitely not going to start doing that now. You know, we're going to talk about the hard-hitting issues. We'll have some fun. We'll talk about relationships like you heard on Monday night. But at the same time, that's why it's great to have Ann here to kind of just talk about some of these more mature issues, the serious issues that are seriously plaguing the black community. Not the community at large, but I believe we've got to clean up our backyard before we start protesting, you know, at the White House. And everybody wants to talk about what Fox News is doing and what these Republicans are doing, but we got stuff, you know, like this in our community that's jacked up. You know, we need to be rallying and protesting on these drug-infested corners, on these prostitute-infested corners, right in front of these abortion clinics. You know what I'm saying? Gun violence in the black community is the highest in the whole country. You know, that's what's more important. There's not going to be anything to protest about. There aren't going to be any people to protest until we start putting a stop to this foolishness that's going on with us. This is a black-on-black genocide. You know, that's all it is. I mean, we've killed more of each other than we're killed in slavery, the Holocaust, you know, all this stuff. When you add up these numbers, it's absolutely ridiculous. There have been more black-on-black murders than there have been white-on-black lynchings. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so add up Jim Crow, you know, all that Reconstruction, all that stuff. So these are the real issues there. But let's talk about this stuff, though. We talked about how it starts. It starts off, and we're talking about, just so you know, we're going to talk about statistics in a little bit. Let me just be clear about this. Let me just put this out there. I understand, just like we did a show on HIV a few years ago, a huge show where we talked about statistics. None of these statistics are going to say 100%, okay? It's always going to be exceptions to the rule. We're not going to focus on the small percentages with this show. We're going to talk about, just so you know, what usually happens or what the major problem is in the black community. Okay, so we're going to put this out there now. You understand? Like, I don't want there to be any, you know, well, what about this? It's not about what about anything. It's about, on a large scale, what's going on. All right, so I just want to kind of put that, put that little disclaimer out there. Now, I guess one of the questions that I've, you know, we had this debate online. My question is, who really wants to kill their baby? You know what I mean? And I think that part of the problem is, from a scientific standpoint, people are not, when you think about abortion, you don't really think about the image of what that unborn fetus looks like. I think a lot of people, they just think that it's, you know, it's no big deal. It's a procedure, kind of like getting your wisdom teeth taken out. No, it's nothing like that. You're getting a baby taken out. You know, it has eyes, okay, it has little fingers. You know, a lot of times, I mean, I think you can have a baby up to, the end of the first trimester, I believe. And, I mean, I saw the transformation that my wife went through during that time. So if you wait up until the last minute to have an abortion legally, I mean, that's a little person in there. I don't know what you guys think. You know, and a lot of people are saying, oh, yeah, you know, well, a woman should have a right to choose. And, well, I mean, we can talk about the whole legal aspect, the right to choose, but you're killing a little baby. And before we go any further, I think we have to talk about it for what it is. You're not just choosing, you know, making a decision. You're choosing to kill. That's the choice that you're making. I mean, so what are we saying? We're saying, I think it should be okay to kill children, to kill little babies, little infants. And I think that when you really look at it for what it is, as opposed to what's comfortable, I honestly, and no disrespect to anybody listening, I have a hard time believing that anybody looking at it in that context would say that's a good idea. But I don't know. That's just my views, though. Let's talk about it, though. And I mean, how do you feel about that? Just the right to choose. Let's talk about, you know, Roe versus Wade a little bit. Just overall, how do you feel about this whole debate, right or wrong?
Well, I mean, right or wrong. I mean, as a Christian, I have to stand on the side of that it's wrong. I mean, it's wrong to take a life that God has implanted in you, regardless of what the circumstances are. And I was looking on the postings earlier, and you know, I saw people saying, you know, well, what about rape and what about incest? And I will say this, that I have a very good, let me say this, is that if you are Christian now and you find yourself having been raped or incest and you find yourself pregnant, that I have a very good friend who was raped and was impregnated, and she decided to have her children. And it was a blessing to her. I mean, she told the testimony. But it was a blessing because she trusted God for whatever was going to happen because she believed that the Word of God says in Romans 8:28, all things work together. And so she just trusted. And so I kind of get their point, but I also know that we serve a God who is able to make all what we consider bad things good if we walk that path. And so I have to side on the side of that, you know, abortion is wrong. However, I just want to, before I close, say this caveat, is that if a woman has had an abortion, know that God's grace and mercy can cover her and can cleanse her if she repents. And, you know, and she can have a life and God still loves her. Because we all make mistakes. And, you know, and the other thing I want to say is that abortion is no worse than lying. Because the Bible says that lying is an abomination. So and a liar is an abomination to God. So sin is sin.
Right. And that's a really good point as we move forward. And I think that's important to put that out there first and foremost, that all sins are equal. Okay? You're 100% right. And, I mean, lying, fornication, murder, sin is just something that separates you from God. If it separates you, doesn't say how far one sin separates you from God compared to another sin. Sin separates you from God, period. All sins are the same. All sins can be forgiven, no matter whether, like she said, whether it's the lie, whether it's the abortion. So definitely that's 100% true. And so I don't want people, I'm sure a lot of people listening in tonight have had abortions. Let's be real about it. And so I don't want you guys to think this show is about condemnation, because that's not our place. That's not what we do here. This is about shedding light on an epidemic. You know, you understand what I'm saying to you? And it is an epidemic. Make no mistake about it. You know, now, another thing that I just kind of wanted to go into was the background of mentally, because we talked about how they start out from a relationship standpoint, from a dating standpoint, from a sexual standpoint, how that happens, what that looks like in the moment, what leads to the actual pregnancy, you know, which goes to the abortion. But a lot of times, and counsels people, you know, I counsel people, and a lot of times when we're talking about women who engaged in promiscuous behavior, who have a low level of self-esteem, typically, usually, I'd say in my personal experience, more often than not, those women grew up without a father in their life, all right? Grew up without someone to tell them, you are beautiful, you are special, you don't have to sell your body, you don't have to put your body out there, you don't have to look for attention, I'm here to give you all the attention and the love that you need. So what happens is, when you live life feeling like you're unprotected, my daughter knows already at this point, daddy is the protector. You know, when we're around a lot of people, she loves mommy, but at the same time, when we're around a whole bunch of crowd of people, she looks to me for that protection, for that security. She knows that that's what's going to be there. As women get older and they grow up without that father there, without that protection, they're forced to fend for themselves. They're forced to, you know, whether it's these men, you know, coming after them from at all angles, trying to get their bodies in a sexual way, whether it's just, whatever it is, other females hating on them, they don't have that father there. So what happens is when you get pregnant, that a lot of times that survival mechanism kicks in and they say, I just can't do this. And then it almost gets to a place of either you or me, or them or me, or the baby or me, because I can't take care of both. I've got to help myself. I'm not protected. I'm in this for myself. You know, so that's when they say, and they're not looking, and they're not Googling, you know, abortion pics. They didn't do that. They didn't do what I did and see all the little aborted babies laying on tables, you know, thrown away in the trash after the procedure, the actual little people, you know, with the eyes that were, you know, victims of abortion. They don't see that, so they don't view it in that manner. So they say, hey, look, I didn't have this protection. I've got to protect myself now. I've got to do what's best for me. And that is a that's a sad place to be in. I would hope that no woman, no person, but specifically no little girl should ever have to grow up without a father, without feeling that protection. Because that I know for a fact, I see it all day, every day, that will seriously mess people up. It has a serious effect on their emotional state, on a mental state, and often it leads to over-sexuality, promiscuity, STDs, AIDS, abortions, you know, all the above. But you got to look at the root of this thing and where it comes from. And, I mean, Reverend, I know you, you know, being a, you know, a counselor, you see a lot of these same issues as well. Anything you wanted to just say about the origin of it from your perspective?
I think that you hit it right on the head as far as the majority of women who find themselves living promiscuous lives at a very early age either had no father figure in their life or their father did not play the role in the way that he should have, unfortunately. And then a good portion, as you know, were either molested or raped, which also has its level of mental heartaches on a person, or gives persons a mental struggle. But it can be overcome. But the problem is that people don't get help until they've done so much after so long, and they're just tired of living that life. So you're right. It's dysfunction. It's dysfunction in our community.
Yeah, we've just got to do a better job out here, guys. We really have to do a better job of really of taking responsibility and holding each other responsible for this stuff. You know, I mean, a lot of times, we didn't talk about this, but I've personally counseled women, numerous women. And I'm not, you know, you're sick, you go to the hospital, that's what you're here for. But I'm just saying, they know, they're living the effects of having multiple abortions. Usually, and I don't have any official statistics on this number, but I'm willing to bet that there's a high percentage of women who have had one abortion, they've actually had numerous abortions. I already know that. I know personally many people who have exhibited that, proven that statistic to be true. But I'm going to look into that. Because a lot of times, it's, you know, you do it once and it's like, oh, wow, okay, this wasn't so bad. This was able to bail me out of a bad situation. So now you feel you have like that built-in imaginary safety net. So you continue. It's like you would think that, dang, I got caught up. I got pregnant by somebody who didn't even want me. So, I mean, I would think that you'd say, hey, look, let me not do that anymore. One, let me just not have sex. You know, let me definitely not have sex with men who I'm not in a serious relationship with, you know, not my husband, but at the very least, men who clearly don't want me. Let me not do that. You know, let me just chill out. You see what I'm saying? And that's not happening. So what's going on is people are going ahead and getting multiple abortions, and then it's driving that number way up. Amanda, I know you've been listening. Any thoughts on that, just from what you've seen out there on the West Coast?
I agree. It's an epidemic here, too, a lot. A lot of you know I live on Beach, California, and you just see, like, a lot of just, like, girls that are, like, a part of gangs. And you just see a lot of that. And I remember talking to a girl, and she was telling me how she had multiple abortions. And I'm just sitting there like, Lord, give me the words to say for this girl. And the only thing I could tell her was, you know, Christ can heal you. You know, you don't have to feel guilty about what you've done. Like, you know, and I was just sister to sister, heart to heart. I just let her know, like, I feel you. You know, I know how the cycle is. And you could just see so much pain, and it was just all over her, and she just broke down. And it's an epidemic. It's a form of genocide. We can get deep tonight, but it is a form of genocide. So,
right. I mean, that's what it is. Anytime you know, I mean, that's the definition of the word. Anytime you have a mass murder, you know, of one race, You know, that's considered, you know, the mass killing of a specific group of people is considered genocide. Make no mistake about it. Abortion is the leading cause of death in the black community. Now, if that's not genocide, I don't know what is. You know what I mean? And we have to start looking at it as such. You can't, it's kind of hard to continuously blame the white man when we're sitting around, you know, killing ourselves, whether it's through black, you know, these guys, these drug dealers out here, these black men killing other black men, or black women killing little black babies. I mean, at some point, who's going to step up and say, this needs to stop? I mean, yeah, we can talk about Trayvon Martin all day. We can protest about Troy Davis all day. But who's going to protest these little fetuses out here? You know what I mean? Who's going to protest? You know, then talk about it and step up and say, hey, look, you know, black women, keep your legs closed. You know, dads, stop having sex with these ladies, these women you know you have no future with and don't want a future with. You know, that's the real problem in the black community. That's what needs to be on the front page of CNN. You know, but it's only a problem when it's the white man causing a problem in the black community. But what about the black community causing a problem in the black community? I guess that's not newsworthy. Let's go to the phone lines, though. I want to hear from you guys, though. This is a hot topic. You know, you ever notice how you don't hear issues like this? You don't hear talk shows like myself or talk show hosts like myself and Ann talking about issues like this? That's the problem. Everybody's afraid to talk about it. Well, we're going to talk about it tonight. Take advantage of this stuff. 646-200-0366. Hit the number one in your agree, disagree. I don't care. I want to hear from pro-choice, pro-life, you know, atheist. I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm not into that. Just tell me what I want to hear from the debaters. Let's get it on. You know, hit the number one on your keypad. But yeah, we'll keep the phone lines open all night. Let's talk about this for a second, though. From a, you know, we touched on it briefly, though, from a legal standpoint. You know, there, you know, everybody's talking about, well, you know, Obama is pro-life. He's refused to take a definitive stand on it. Well, and let me just say this about our president. All right. If you guys know anything about politics, that's why I came. I could never be a. I can do a lot of things, but I could never and would never be a politician. Never aspired to be in politics. The reason for that is because politicians have to bring a certain level of BS to the table. That's just what they do. You know, you have to be able to please multiple groups of people. You know, you can't just cater to the black, you know, the black crowd. You can't just cater to the white crowd. You just can't cater to just the Democrats, the poor, the rich. You gotta kind of do your best to please everybody, or at least say you're gonna please everybody. And that's just politics in general. We're all looking for President Obama to be, you know, some type of savior, some type of Martin Luther King, some type of Malcolm X, like they were. Like they were just steadfast civil rights leaders. They had one cause, and that was the betterment of the black community. That's not President Obama. You can't be that way as the President of the United States. That's why I have such a lack of respect for people like the Tavis Smileys, like the Michael Eric Dysons, like all these people, Cornel West, who are all rallying together to bash our president when he can't do that. If we want to get anything done, you've got to make deals, you know, with the Republicans. You've got to make deals with the rich. You think, I mean, it's like a give and take. You scratch my back, all this stuff that he is doing in the black community, that he has done in the black community, wouldn't have got done, you know, if he did not work a little bit with these with the people who would most likely want to put us back in slavery. Sometimes you've got to do that. Anybody who knows anything about politics should know that by now. All right? So I just want to kind of say, I mean, now, as far as abortion, I mean, he can't, I mean, I'm not, it is what it is. Abortion is one of those topics. First thing you get into politics, they want to know where do you stand? You know, you pro-life or pro-choice? All right? I mean, he took the politically correct, you know, stance on it. Am I knocking him? Had he said how he really felt, he probably wouldn't be the first black president of the United States. I mean, it is what it is. Now, am I going to, you know, walk that fence and stretch? No, I'm going to tell you how I feel. But I'm not saying everybody can be like that. Certainly the president can't be like that. But that's just my views on it, though. I don't know. Reverend, have you heard some of the criticism that President Obama has gotten specifically centered around abortion?
You know, I'm so glad that you said what you said, because it's the thing that I have been stating to relatives and friends about President Barack Obama's position. At the end of the day, he cannot be the president for the black community. He can't. He is the president of the United States of America. And as much as his own moral stance is against abortion, he can't go firing, blazing, shooting guns and wiping out every law and every societal allotment that he doesn't like from a moral standpoint. He wouldn't have lasted very long. And like you said, no politician would last if they were so dogmatic to one side or the other. And so I think that what we have to do is pray for his wisdom, that he can be cunning and he can be wise, and that he can get as much done for those, for the mass majority of people, and that definitely not being the rich, but the lower income and the middle class person. And so, I mean, we just need to get off his neck at the end of the day.
Right, absolutely. And if I can just say for a second, we need to get out there and vote. I mean, there's a serious, you guys know, and I meant to say this the other night when we were talking about parenting in the black community and some of these other Trayvon Martin. I mean, I have such disgust on a large scale for the vast majority of the African-American community because of the ignorance that we project forth. And did you guys know that as much as people hate George Bush and that what happened in his 8 years in office, did you guys know that voter turnout within the black community in that particular election was at an all-time low? It was actually a record for the lowest turnout percentage-wise, like from the black community. I mean, I have a serious problem with that, because you ask any black person around, how do you feel about George Bush, and they have a problem with him. They complain. They're still complaining about George Bush. But hear me on this. The vast majority of black people in this country did not and do not vote. Less than 40% of black people are even registered to vote. Only about 12 or 13% of those African-American voters voted for the first black president of the United States. 13%. Out of 40%, less than half of black people are even registered to vote. You know what I'm saying? Yet everybody and their mom wants to protest a Trayvon Martin. And I, for whatever reason, I feel like I'm the only person in this country who sees a problem with that little statistic there. You know, we have to do better. We got to stop talking. We got to stop protesting and actually do something. Actually start graduating from high school. Actually start graduating from college. You know, actually vote, okay? Actually get off of unemployment. You know, don't get me started on the unemployment rate in the black community. But these are major issues that need to be discussed. You know, everybody's not sitting at home and can't find a job. There are plenty of jobs out here. Plenty of jobs. Make no mistake about it. Go on monster.com. Plenty of jobs out here. The problem is that most of the people who are in the black community on unemployment are not qualified for these jobs. So the jobs that are available, they don't want to work at. They don't want to work at the McDonald's. They don't want to work at the supermarket. They don't want to do the telemarketing job. They want the $40,000 and $50,000 job, the $60,000. Well, guess what? You need a college degree to work those jobs. See, nobody factors those things in. It's not that there aren't jobs out here. It's just that nobody wants to hire the guy with the tattoo on his neck. You know? The woman who comes into the job interview with three kids. Nobody, that's not, you know what I'm saying? The guy who comes to the job interview in Dickies. Nobody's going to hire you with tattoos all up your arm with a Dickies suit on, with some Tims on. Oh, man, I don't know what's going on. I mean, Reverend, what's going on? I mean, am I the only person? Do you see some of the problems out here that I'm discussing, right? Because sometimes I feel like nobody sees them.
No, I definitely do. And I think there's sort of one word that sums up what you're talking about, and it's apathy. The African American community as a whole, the majority, I think, have just become very apathetic. They don't believe that their voice counts. They don't believe that a vote means anything. They don't believe that they're able to succeed. They don't believe that, I mean, there's so many disbeliefs in our community about what we as a people can do. You know, but if we were to actually pull our resources together, do you realize that we, just the African American community, spend about $1 billion? $1 billion. But there was a time where we supported each other. There was a time where there were jobs. There was a time where we had a community. And then we became a part of different classes. We became more Eurocentric, and we lost our way, and we lost our identity. And so it's unfortunate. And I know there's somebody out there saying, you know, I haven't lost it, but yes, we have. We don't look out for each other. We don't respect one another. We don't help one another. We don't. And it's all about me, mine, and what I can do for my household. And that's what it boils down to. And the people that make it out, they're like Clarence Thomas. Well, I made it out. You got to make it out yourself. And that's just not the way our community was or can be. We're not going to survive like that. We're just going to continue spiraling down. But at the end of the day, I believe that it is a plot by Satan, because at the end of the day, we are an ingenious people. We are so smart, and we are so just intuitive and resourceful. And if we were ever to get ourselves together, I mean, really pull ourselves together, we would overwhelm not only this country but the world.
Absolutely. And it's funny. This is evident all over. But, I mean, if you just look at my Facebook page, I have people who lay in the cut. You know, I post. I probably update my status update on it. You guys know how I do it. Like, I update my Facebook status like some of you guys tweet, like probably 2-3 times an hour. So you figure in an 8-hour day, 10-hour day, whatever it is, 24-hour period, you know, I might have put up, you know, 100 different posts, you know, depending on the day. And there are people who will literally ignore everything, every single one of those posts, every 98, 99 of those posts, but literally quote me. And then in a debate, in a heat of the moment, in a debate, put, like, you know what I'm saying, regurgitate what I said in a way to try to use my words against me. You know what I'm saying? And totally ignore everything else. And that is the problem that is indicative of the major problem within the black community. It's like we're just waiting for an opportunity to tear people down. And that is not, like Ann said, that's not how we should be. That is counterproductive. And I say this is a controversial statement, or has been over the years, but I've said it, I will continue to say it. In a lot of ways, I feel like we were better off as slaves, better off in the civil rights era, because in a lot of ways we were happier. You know, we were more united. We were unified. We fought for one goal. We set, even in the cornfields, in the cotton fields, they would hold hands and secretly hum. They were able to communicate with each other without hating on each other. They would, if somebody was trying to escape, they wouldn't hate on them and spread rumors and go tell the master so they would get beaten in front of the town. They would actually secretly help that person. It's like, hey, look, I'm a little too old to go on the run. I'm not going to make it. But, hey, let me go ahead and see if I can get you to the Underground Railroad. You know what I'm saying? Let me help you out to get where you want to get to. That's how they were enslaved. Even on the slave ship coming over here, you know, in the Middle Passage, they were singing songs, unified, body on top of body on top of body, still laughing and joking, finding the positivity. You know what I'm saying? Helping heal each other's wounds, doing different things. Now we live better lives than we ever have financially, professionally, and we're as ununified as ever. You know, Martin Luther King, there was no Facebook, there was no Twitter, there was no social media to use to organize these million man marches back. They really had the million man marches back then. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't documented, but they were able to do that just off of word of mouth. That's amazing. Do you guys know how amazing that is? There were no telephones all like that. There was no cell phones. People weren't easily accessible to each other. But they got that word out there. People supported. You know what I mean? Nowadays, we can't even get people to do anything, you know, unless it's a, you know, some type of financial gain to them. Al Sharpton, you know, Jesse Jackson, they come out when the donations are being made, you know. I don't think anybody in their right mind would say Martin Luther King did what he did for donations or just when the TV cameras were rolling. But, you know, that's what I'm saying, guys. This is an epidemic. This epidemic of abortion, of teen pregnancy, of gun violence, all these social issues we've been talking about over the last year, domestic violence, which we've done 11 specials on over the years, these are serious issues, as serious issues as anything we've ever experienced as a people. All right? And we need to treat it as such. This is, and to be honest with you, this is a lot more important than Trayvon Martin, you know, or a Troy Davis execution. You know, this is what we really need to be rallying about. Now, let's keep it moving, though. Let's go to the phone line. So I see a couple calls here on the line, 646-200-0366. If you're just joining in, we're talking about abortion tonight. This is an issue we've never covered here in detail like we're doing it tonight. All night long, we're talking about abortion, the effects. And towards the end of the show, we're gonna talk about what Jesus Christ says about the about abortion, what the Bible says about killing innocent children. That's what we're going to talk about. And, you know, you trust me. You guys love when I do that. Y'all heard last night's show on the origins of the word whore and what God says about promiscuity amongst women. Some of you guys said there were some technical difficulties. If you missed that show and what the Bible says about promiscuity, definitely check out those archives right on. I posted the link on my page. Let's go to these phone lines, see what's going on. I see Bougie Girl on the line. Bougie Girl, what's going on? What's your thoughts on abortion?
Well, here's the thing. I believe I'm really candid about this. I was engaged, and it didn't work out. I mean, I had a ring and a date and all that stuff. It didn't work out. And after a breakup, I found out that I was pregnant, and I didn't know I was on birth control and everything. And so I'm an older mom, and I had to keep, like, the situation between me and my ex was kind of stressful. And so I prayed on it, and I talked to my pastor about it. And, you know, she kind of suggested that I wait to the first get through the first trimester, and then go and tell him and all that other stuff. But I didn't make it. I think I lost the baby at 11 weeks. And, I mean, eventually I did talk to him, and we talked it out and stuff. And, see, I mean, I was 36 at the time, and I had insurance, and I could have taken care of the baby. But my ex wasn't a deadbeat or anything like that. I didn't have the concerns that, you know, sometimes people who were calling in your show in the past were like, I'm a jump off and da-da-da-da-da. Like, I didn't have all that kind of, like, drama like that thing. But, you know, it's funny, I've always been pro-choice because I think in some instances, like, you know, when there's a molar pregnancy or there's, ectopic pregnancy, it's the mother's life is at risk. So I believe that in those cases, the mother's life needs to be over the child's because, you know, a molar pregnancy is not, you know, a sustainable pregnancy. An ectopic pregnancy will kill the mother. And I don't want to be that person to tell, you know, kids or a husband, I'm sorry you lost your wife, but we banned abortion. You know, even though in her case, like, it would have saved her life. Like, I don't want to be that person. As I said on the Facebook and your friends of Dayton, you know, on your page, you know, same with, like, a 12-year-old that's been raped. You know, I would hope that she would put it up for adoption. I did, when I was growing up, a girl was 14 in my neighborhood. She got pregnant by a rapist. She did put it up for adoption, and her parents let her make that decision because the child has already been traumatized. So then for you to force her to have that baby, I mean, there's just a whole bunch of other things. And I know that there are women out there that do use abortion as birth control, but I have to think in my heart, maybe it's the being from Kansas, but I have to think that not everybody is doing that. And that's just a small percentage of, you know, chicken-headed women out there doing that stuff. You know, for a lot of women, this is like a really difficult decision. And I feel like as much as, and again, for me, there was no choice like, oh, I'm going to get an abortion because I'm not with this guy. I was like, I'm having this baby, like, whatever, you know, it'll be fine, like, whatever. But, you know, I know for other women, they don't have that situation because, you know, their situation is one that stems from, you know, sexual assault or, you know, an abusive relationship or something like that. So I'm just holding all those women in prayer because I know that
being by myself in a place where I didn't know very many people, being pregnant, even though I was over 35, was hard. I can only imagine if I didn't have my education, if I didn't have my friends and family that, you know, long distance wise, or a good church that I actually belong to, if I didn't have that, how scared I would have been.
Right. And you know, Bougie Girl, I'm glad you called in, because you bring up a few good points that I want, that was actually on my list of things to talk about. Let me just first touch on the ectopic pregnancies. That is absolutely, see, to me, I don't really view that, I mean, and this is just me, I don't really view that as an abortion per se. Because when you're talking about, you know, the life of someone being, you know, either it's either the baby or the mother, I mean, that's a life. That's your life. I don't feel like that's considered wrong. And, you know, God could, I mean, I'm sure people feel differently. I'm just speaking my views personally. In that situation, and to be honest with you, that probably would be the only situation that I would say, okay, this is a procedure that needs to be done to save my life. A lot of times, you know, it is what it is. You could be married and, you know, doing things the right way and have, you know, have to have that done. So definitely I'm not knocking that. But I will say this, though. Statistically, we're not talking, you know, the vast majority of abortions in the black community are not coming as a result of rape or incest. As I said towards the beginning of the show, that's actually a very small percentage. I'm not saying that decision, for whatever it is that's being made, is not, I'm sure it's a hard decision for everybody. You know what I mean? I'm not knocking that. In fact, I know for a fact it's going to have long-lasting effects. But what I'm saying is you've got to take responsibility for your actions regardless. And this is not heaven that we live in. And Reverend Ann touched on this, and I want to just elaborate and piggyback off her for a second. We live here on earth. The Bible says you do what you have to do here on earth, and then there will be heaven. There will be paradise in heaven. This is not the end-all and be-all. This is a very imperfect world, okay? We are just here temporarily. This is a small you're going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell. You stay here on this earth for 70 to 80 years. That's it. So because this is an imperfect world, God is here for us to soften the blow, to have faith in, to pray towards, to thank him for our blessings, but at the same time lean on us and carry us through the hard times. That's what he wants from us. If you didn't have any hard times, how would you be able to appreciate the good times? That's where God comes in. That's where faith and trust in God comes in. So I say all that to say, bad things will happen to you. Bad things do happen to good people. Okay, this is not, okay, something bad happened to me, so let me go ahead and do something else bad as a result of that. Yes, everybody wants to say, well, what if it was your wife that got raped? What if it was your husband or your daughter? I mean, all that stuff is irrelevant. You know, I don't even like to speak stuff like that into existence, but what I can tell you is I've had hard things happen to me before. I've had situations where I've had to lean on God, and he's made the best out of a bad situation, and it often even turned that situation into a blessing. So just to answer that question once for all, biblically, God doesn't say, go ahead and you get done dirty, you get done wrong, bad things happen to you, so why don't you go out and sin? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that's how you handle, you know, a bad tragedy or a bad situation. You pray, you have faith, you lean on God. So in cases of rape, do I believe God wants rape victims to go ahead and have abortions? Does God want victims of incest to go ahead and abort that baby and, you know, make a bad situation worse? I don't believe that's what God wants to do. Like, you know, someone said, I mean, there are always other options. There's adoption. There are foster. I mean, there's all types of stuff that you can do. So, I mean, let me just say this. I'm not judging, but biblically, see, a lot of people confuse being judgmental for co-signing the word of God. You understand? This is what we're talking about. We're talking about what God wants. And in a minute, we're going to actually read actual scriptures. People are nowadays coming to their own conclusions. Oh, it's like, okay, in this instance, it's okay. And no, it's never okay. You understand what I mean? Biblically. Now, if you have a problem with God, or you have a problem with the God's word as it's written, I mean, then that's something you've got to pray about. But being judged, speaking the word of God, saying what the Bible says to do in certain situations, in no way is being judgmental. In fact, I said a couple weeks ago, that's what God is calling us to do. That's what Jesus wants to do, is to take a stand on his word. If that means ruffling a few feathers, you know, then that's what we've got to do. Jesus wasn't afraid of ruffling a few feathers. He wasn't afraid of going against the law. Because you guys got to understand, he stood in the face of the presidents and the rulers of that time, the modern-day governors, the lawmakers, and said, yo, I don't know who you – he said, you have no power over me. You know what I'm saying? He said, I'm God. You know, I don't know who y'all think y'all are, but this is what I'm going to do. This is who I am, and this is what I'm about. I don't know what y'all talking about. He said, you have ruler over this place, but you have no power over me because I am God. So that's what I'm saying to you. You know, and some people would say, oh, Jesus, you're judging them. Jesus is judgmental. It's not about that. It's about speaking on God's word, and God says in his word he will reward people who does that. And most likely the people who are claiming that people are being judgmental are most likely the people that will be end up being judged by God on Judgment Day. How about that for irony? So sorry to, you know, go off on a little bit of a tangent, but this stuff is all important. Reverend Ann, any thoughts on that?
You know, let me say this. It's funny, when you told me that we were going to talk about abortion, my first thought, which was, I think, a response in our black community, because you asked, you know, why don't more pastors speak on it? My first thought was, well, black women don't really have abortions. I mean, I know some of them do, but not, you know, not a lot, because we don't kill our babies. I mean, that was typically, we have children, we have our children. But then as I began to prepare for tonight's show, I began to do my own research. And Daydon, I was speechless. I was speechless to know that when you said that abortion is the number one killer of African Americans, I thought, okay, maybe he's exaggerating a little bit, but it's true, and it's unfortunate. And, you know, as far as a biblical standpoint, you know, all of that is right. But I think we even have to get deeper than that, is that why have we gone from a community that did not believe in killing our children to a community that is the number one killer of our children? Why have we begun to choose to act irresponsibly, which is having unprotected sex and using it as a form of birth control? I heard what Bougie Girl said, but you cannot tell me that 13 million abortions is a act of a small group of women. No. It is women having multiple abortions and using it as birth control. But what I don't understand is why. Because if the majority of the persons who are having these abortions, which is 40% from the lower economic portion of society, you have access to condoms that are free. You have access to free birth control. Whereas me, somebody who works, I have to pay for my birth control. So I'm not sure why we're using abortion, other than, you know, Satan has warped our minds, and we are allowing it to happen. And, you know, it's very unfortunate, but I think that this has to be, you know, now that I'm clear on the numbers, that this is something that we have to continue to talk about. This is something that we have to send letters and emails and really get our community to understanding that it's a genocide, like you said. It's out of control.
Right. It's absolutely out of control. Great points. And that number, just, it's funny that you said that 13 million, I saw that statistic, but then I researched and I saw another statistic. It has been estimated, and I just posted this on Facebook actually, it's been estimated that since 1973, black women have had close to 16 million abortions. 16 million abortions since 1973. So I'm not sure what year that 13 million number, because I definitely saw that, not sure when that came into effect, but that's a pretty big increase over the last, you know, let's say 20 years. You know, it's actually astronomical, you know. And in fact, I'm looking at another statistic. On average, 1,876 black babies are aborted every single day in the United States. Look these numbers up. Go to CDC, you know, the Center for Disease Control, and Google these abortion. Just matter of fact, just Google abortion statistics in the black community. These numbers will shock you. They will appall you. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wants to talk about what it is nationally. Don't worry about it, what it is nationally. We've got to fix our community first before we start talking about nationally and other races and internationally. 2,000 black babies are aborted every day in this country. If that number doesn't make you mad, see, 2,000, there aren't 2,000 rapes. You know, all those aren't rape victims. All those aren't incest victims. A lot of this stuff, most of these cases are women who are just having sex with men who don't give a damn about them. And that is why also HIV is the number one killer among African American women. It's why black women are being infected with HIV at a higher rate than any other race. It's the same reason why more black women have abortions than any other race. All this stuff is affecting the black community like never before. And we have got to do something about it. We can't just keep sweeping it under the rug. You know, at some point, we've got to take a stand. It's not going to be politically. And let me just say this. I pride myself on being a real guy. You know me, I don't shy away from topics. You can't think of a topic we haven't talked about here on this show up until this point. Abortion might have been the last topic, really, that we have not discussed in detail. But up until this point, I kind of straddled the fence on the whole, you know, even as recently as last year, to be honest with you, you know, no need to lie. You know, I even had various topics on Facebook, debates, you know, on pro-choice, pro-life. And, you know, I see the logic in being pro-choice. For a while, I even debated. Some of you may even remember, you know, I was quote-unquote pro-choice for a very long time, but it wasn't until I really started getting familiar with God, getting familiar with what his word says and what he wants for my life and how he wants me to be a blessing to other people. And I think that right or wrong, guys, you got to pick a side. You know what I mean? You're either going to be of God or you're going to be of the devil. You can't be of both. You know, Bible says if you're lukewarm, you know, God will spit you out, you know, as if he never knew you at all. So, I mean, God's word is very clear on this, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, no, not knocking anybody on how you feel, but I just encourage you all to really, you know, do some research like Reverend Ann did, like I did, because I didn't realize it was as bad as it was. I didn't think that 16 million black women have had abortions. I didn't realize that close to 2,000 black babies were being aborted every single day in this country. That's a problem. You know what I mean? I didn't really look at it until I Googled abortion pictures. I didn't think it was that bad until I actually saw the little head that was about the size of my thumb of a little baby right after the abortion. Looked like a little tadpole, but it was a little person. You know, and that's crazy right there. I don't believe there should be a choice to kill someone that has something that has eyes or that something that has fingers. I don't think that's the choice that we should make. Now, let's talk about that choice. Let's talk. Matter of fact, let's go to the phone line and see what you guys have to think. I see some calls here. Amanda, any thoughts on that before we take some calls from the listeners?
Yeah, oh, everything you said is just so good. I could say a lot, but you talked about a lot. But about the whole President Obama thing and how all the votes, you know, skyrocketed at that moment. We actually need to accept that Obama was not the first black president. He's actually the first biracial president, but we don't want to accept that because we have this warped negative ideology that anything white this term, oh, you talk white, or that's white, like you support white people, like, you know, the white man, you know, how that's so negative. We base all our decisions on that, and like who we support and what we want to do. So we're just obsessed with this idea of anything that's black, like we want to go out and support it. But, you know, that's not really wise, because we're ending up adopting the one drop rule, you know, which was created by racist white people. If you have a little bit of black in you, you're okay. Anything that's white is bad. And that's actually a racist thing that white people, you know, wanted to place upon our community during black enslavement. And to be honest, we haven't supported each other since Harriet Tubman, the Underground Railroad. We haven't been supporting each other. Reverend Ann, you were saying, like, some really good stuff. Like, I'm so encouraged by you, both of you, because I felt like I was the only one that held all these views about, you know, what we support and, you know, all these abortions. And we just don't realize how staggering the amount is. It's up there in, like, the thousands. It's bad. So that's all I want to say.
Amanda, great, great points. And, you know, you're hitting on some things that there's a very small percentage of people I've found in the black community that are able and willing to talk about the real issues from, you know, as they are, not how we want them to be, not in some type of, you know, la-la land type of way. This isn't Mary Poppins, The Sound of Music. A lot of people are just living in this fantasy world, like, oh, no, everything is great, pro-black, black power, you know, the white man is this. I mean, it's all foolishness. It's all just ridiculous, and it quite frankly makes me sick. You know what I mean? I've been around white people my whole life, and, you know, never have I been discriminated against or hated on by anybody, you know, like I have been in the black community. And it's a sin and it's a disgrace. You know, the hypocrisy, the ignorance that exists, the double standards. Don't get me started on how it's okay to make blatantly racial jokes about other races, but then when let a Rush Limbaugh or Kramer from Seinfeld say something that even might be considered racial, it's like, oh my goodness, let's boycott, you know, Don Imus. You know, it's okay for Nicki Minaj to call, you know, black women nappy-headed hoes, but when Don Imus calls black women nappy-headed hoes, then it's a problem. It's okay for, you know, Lil Wayne to say, beautiful black women, I bet that bitch look better red. You know, it's okay for Lil Wayne to say that he'll sell a million records, but to blatantly disrespect black women, you know, unlike anyone has ever done in the history of music, you know, let a white guy say something like that, then it's a problem. And the hypocrisy. Monique can get up there and do stand up talking about Japs and you know, slanting their eyes, Rodney Perry, you know, making all types of racial jokes about Asians, but let somebody do something, say something about us, and it's, oh my goodness, let's protest, let's riot. Well, I mean, you can't do that. And it's a serious problem going on there. Let's go to Philly. I see a call from Philly. From the 267 area code. Welcome to the Dayton Tolbert Show. 267-331, you there? All right, going once, going twice. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's see. I see a couple calls here. Call from the 313 area code. Welcome to the Dayton Tolbert Show.
Hi, Dayton. This is Shani, and I just want to say that I'm pro-life. I personally believe abortion is totally against God, because God loves his children. You know, the Bible talks about hurting kids and things like that is wrong. So that's one reason why. And another thing, too, is it causes emotional trauma for the woman. And then another thing that I thought about, well, where does the man make a decision in all this? I mean, he should have a part of it as well, because he, especially if he's a father of the child and he wants to be there and all that kind of stuff.
Right. That's a good point. Shani, where are you calling him from?
Detroit.
Detroit, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. Good points there. It's glad to hear you're pro-life. I mean, and part of the problem with society is that people are not really taking the Bible into consideration. They're just kind of doing what they want to do. They're coming up with these you know, secular views and worldly views on life and on politics. And I mean, and that's really not what, you know, what God is going to be happy with. You've got to consult. And the Bible says, acknowledge him in all your ways, you know, and he'll direct your path. Not just you know, not just when you're at church, you know, not just when you're going through something, but it says to acknowledge the Lord in everything, whether it's, you know, politics, race relations, parenting, everything. And that's what's not going on in today's society. And then people are wondering why this world is going to hell in a handbasket, because people are not acknowledging, you know, acknowledging God in all their ways. They're picking and choosing when they want to incorporate God into their lives. Reverend, I'm sure you see a lot of that on your side of your neck of the woods as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy for people to decide what's comfortable for them, and so they're going to decide, okay, well, I'm going to read this part of the Bible, and I'm going to agree with this part, but because I'm struggling with that part, you know, I know that God's going to forgive me, so I'm not really going, or they try to twist it, or they try to make it say something that it really doesn't say. You know, but at the end of the day, I don't know if you found this in your research of abortions, which is really staggering for me, was the excuses that they came up with for why African Americans are having pregnancy or are having abortions at record numbers. And one article that I read, or one report that I read, talked about that we shouldn't be so hard on African-American women because they were unintended pregnancies. And if that's not ludicrous, they were unintended pregnancies, of course they were unintended pregnancies. But the question is not whether or not the reason is that they're unintended. The question is, why are black women allowing themselves to have so many unintended pregnancies, as you stated, during this time that we've been together? Lying down with men who mean us no good, lying down with men who lie to us, and we know that they're lying to us, lying down with men who don't respect us, who don't love us, and we allow them to use our bodies as receptacles for their moments of pleasures to jack off. And then we have these unexpected pregnancies, and then we use abortion as a contraceptive. And at the end of the day, yes, do I want women to respect themselves and love themselves and stop sleeping with these no-good men and stop being used by these no-good men? But if you're going to have sex, why can't you use contraceptives? I just, you know, it's time out for excuses. I'm not judging anybody. But if we're going to get ourselves together, if we want different lives, which many of the women that I've spoken with, they want different lives. But the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result.
Right. Absolutely. Those are definitely great points. And that's what we as a community have been doing, is the same thing, but expecting it to somehow get better. You know what I mean? And it's not getting better. In fact, it's getting nothing but worse. You understand what I'm saying to you? I see a couple other calls here. Let's go back to the phone lines. I see a call from the 786 area code. Welcome to the Dayton Tolbert Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
I have a question. As far as, like, women, you know, they overlook good guys and go after the thugs. Thug type. What do you think about that?
Women who overlook good guys and go after the thugs?
Yeah.
Good question, my man. It definitely ties into what we're talking about. Where are you calling him from?
I'm calling from Orlando.
Orlando, Florida. I mean, that's a small percentage of the problem. You know, I'm not sure if you've been tuned in the whole show, but that's definitely an issue that we talk about quite regularly here on the show. And, you know, you see a lot of that. As a black man, I know a lot of women who overlook the good men who ultimately will treat them right, and they tend to go after the, you know, the thugs, the athletes, the ball players, the men who they view can please them sexually, you know, but that's about it. That's about all they'll be able to do for them, you know, and then, you know, they end up dealing with them, unprotected sex, end up pregnant, You know, and obviously when that ball player, that athlete, that thug doesn't want them, you know, they decide to terminate the pregnancy. And so it's just an epidemic, and it's very cyclical. And unless we do something to break the cycle, it will continue to plague our community. But definitely I appreciate your call from Orlando. Now, I want in this conversation, and definitely keep the calls coming. If you have questions, comments, feedback, 646-200-0366. Hit the number 1 on your keypad. Definitely call in if you have any type of views, pro-life, pro-choice. You know, I want to hear from it from you all. Another comment, anytime you talk about abortion, and to me, I find this to be very interesting because to me they're in no way related, but you hear people bringing up the death penalty. Now, like I said, I don't think there's any correlation whatsoever to the death penalty and abortion, but let's, for the sake of argument, because that's a very common, even if you look at the thread on my page, a lot of people were talking about that. They want to talk about the death penalty. So let's talk about it. The death penalty, guys, first of all, the Bible says this. It says to obey the law of the land. Jesus spoke about, you know, paying taxes. He spoke about obeying the laws. I mean, definitely while following the teachings of God, you're supposed to, where you live, you follow the teaching, as long as it doesn't interfere with what the Bible says to do. You know, the light is red, you stop at the stoplight. There are certain criteria, there's certain laws in place so that society can run smoothly. The death penalty is one of those laws. It's considered controversial. However, that is the law of the land. If you commit a capital offense, you know, if you're found guilty of murder one, premeditated murder, depending on the state that you're in, you will be eligible for the death penalty if that particular judge decides to sentence you in that manner. That's the law. That is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Don't kill people. That's biblical. You know, the Bible even says, and matter of fact, I don't have the particular scripture there, but it does say that, I'm going to find the scripture for you, because it actually speaks on, I believe this is in direct response to the death penalty. Reverend Ann, you may be able to help me out. There's a scripture where, and I'm going to paraphrase, but they're talking about what happens when a woman is assaulted. And it says that if the woman is assaulted by a man, I'm definitely paraphrasing, but that man will face penalty as seen fit by that woman's husband. However, if there is death to that woman where a child is involved, there will be an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, you know, a limb for a limb, a stripe for a stripe, a wound for a wound. I'm going to find the actual scripture before this show is over. But that, Reverend Ann, do you know what scripture I'm talking about? I happen to come across it, but I don't have it in front of me right now at the moment. It's a very deep scripture. Reverend Ann, do you know what I'm talking about?
I can't quote it at the top of my head, but I'll have it for you in a couple minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get that. It's a deep scripture, guys, and that's what I'm saying to you. The Bible speaks upon the importance of not committing murder. But what you guys have to realize is that all killings, all deaths are not murders. The death penalty, understand, legally, is not murder. You guys understand that? And that's why I'm saying abortion has nothing to do with the death penalty. Abortion is murder. Make no mistake about it. That's murder one. That's premeditated. You know, you are choosing and planning to kill a baby. Your reasoning for that is between you and God. You know, the effects of that is between you and God. But your intention is premeditated and to kill a life. That is a fact. That is murder. Now, that's what the debate about, if I'm walking down the street with my wife and daughter and a flash mob decides they want to run up on me and try to steal my wallet and they want to assault me and I have a gun on me, then I am legally allowed to shoot them. So now I kill one of these little bad kids out here who wants to participate in a flash mob, you know. And that, but guess what? Somebody's dead, but that's not murder. Self-defense is not murder. Everybody doesn't know the law. Everybody doesn't understand what's going on out here. Killing somebody, there are certain things called a justifiable homicide. You know what I mean? We're not going to turn this into the Trayvon Martin debate, but abortion is not one of those things. That is murder. There is no crime that was committed by a little tadpole of a baby. You understand? It's a child. It's a little person. He has no control over what happens. You see, he had no choice. Everybody's saying pro-choice, pro-choice, pro-choice. What choice did the little baby have that has eyes that would look that weren't even formed yet? See, what you guys have to understand is I saw my daughter in the womb with the technology. You understand what I'm saying? I saw what she looked like after only a few weeks old. So you guys understand? That's a life. You can see the imprint of the head. You can see the little fingers. You can hear the heartbeat. You can, you know, see everything. That's when little babies are being killed, when you can hear a heartbeat. How is that not murder? You know what I'm saying? So to bring the death penalty in where you know, people are committing crimes, you don't just get found guilty of Capital One premeditated murder, you know, for no reason. I mean, yes, are there innocent people who find out that we, you know, are being put to death, you know, erroneously? Yes, that happens. Nobody's perfect. But under the law, legally, the way it should be, the people who are being put to death are guilty of a crime. You know, that's in no way the same thing as abortion, killing a little baby. Maybe that's just me. And to be honest, I think people are just trying to, they know it's not the same. They know there's nothing similar about it. They just want something to debate about. But I don't know. Reverend Ann, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I was watching that debate. And you know what, at the end of the day, you're correct. There is a difference. You know, on one side, you know, I think there were a couple of people said, you know, what about the people who are put in jail and who are executed and who are innocent? And we definitely know that that does occur and that does happen. And it has happened for many years. I mean, it started with lynching of African-American men and women. However, I do believe this is apples and oranges, although no innocent life is unimportant. But we are talking about a child who cannot defend themselves, cannot speak up for themselves, cannot fight back, and a person who has been unjustly accused at least has the possibility to speak up for themselves and to make a fuss that they're innocent, but a child does not. A child has no one hears the child's cry. No one is there to defend that child except for the person who's carrying that child. And so it's really up to us as women to really think about what we're doing. And I think one of the callers talked about how from Detroit, she talked about how it affects us emotionally as women. You know, I know what it was to carry my son and the bond that I have with him. And there is an emotional bond that is unlike any other. And when you abort a child, there are scars. And so we need to, and many women have been counseled because of those scars, because of the guilt that they feel, because of the pain that they feel. And so we just need to really think about those things. And yet, I don't think you can compare the two. Even though an innocent life is an innocent life, I don't think you can compare the two.
Yeah, it's in no way comparable whatsoever. Like, not even a little bit. Definitely the equivalent of apples and oranges. So usually, that's why I said there are going to be certain, you know, exceptions to the rule, but usually when somebody gets the death penalty, usually they're guilty. There's usually an abundance of evidence. But, you know, this is the legal system that we have. You know, if you guys don't like it, it's not, nothing is perfect. There's always Africa. There's always Puerto Rico. You can go try your luck in Singapore or somewhere. See how well that works out for you. You know, the reality is, as racist as this country is, you know, we have one of the most stable, safest environments, landfill with opportunity than any country in this world. You know, so that's what I'm saying. I'm getting real sick and tired of the complaints, specifically from the black community, you know, about this country. Is it perfect? No. Is it racist? Yes. You know, but it's sometimes you have to count your blessings, because you could have been born in Ethiopia. You could have been one of those children with the flies all over you in Somalia. You know what I'm saying? Budapest, you know, living in communist, some type of communist society. That could have been you, you know. You can't even pray out loud, can't sing out loud. Got to walk around. You could have been born in one of these countries where you got to walk around covered in head to toe. Like, not you choose to, you have to. Afghanistan somewhere, arranged marriages. That could have been you. Trust me, there are a lot worse place than you can be than in this country. You know, at some point, you got to, you know, and that's what God wants. He wants his people to stop complaining all the time, you know, and that is a serious, serious problem. Now, let's talk about, you know, now, Reverend Ann, you just touched on something. I found that verse, too, which I'm about to read in a second, but we might as well go right into this. Let's talk about the emotional effects that abortions have, specifically on women having them. And there's some serious, like you said, women have to be counseled. I've counseled a number of women who have had abortions. I've seen firsthand the long-term emotional effects and scars that it has. Just talked to somebody today that had an abortion. Actually, someone who had a couple of abortions. That's what I'm saying to you. You know, actually, two people. One person had one, another person had multiple. It's not a happy thing. It's not a pleasant thing. It's something you will have guilt about. A lot of women have, you know, they have nightmares about it, you know, ongoing nightmares. In fact, you look at some of these celebrities, Sherry Shepherd, Dancing with the Stars, happy, you know, go lucky. You know, many of you from a couple years ago remember my show where we discussed Sherry Shepherd and labeled her probably one of the top three emotionally unavailable celebrities out there. I don't know, and that was, if you missed it, Google Sherry Shepherd on the Dadon Tolbert Show, probably one of the most informative shows we've ever done. Where it was determined, where she, this is public knowledge, but many people just don't know, she was quoted as saying, "I was extremely promiscuous, had more sex than she can even remember, had more abortions than she can count." You know, this is Sherry Shepherd. Sherry Shepherd from The View has had more abortions than she can count, has had sex with more partners than she can remember. You know, another one, and she talks in detail about the emotional baggage that's left her with. You know, it's no surprise that her husband was recently rumored to be having sex with her, one of her bridesmaids. That divorce will be public any day now. Just sit back and watch the news, and you'll see. I'm not, you know, not wishing bad, but trust me, guarantee that breakup is coming. You know, Chili. What Chili wants. Everybody talks about, oh yeah, you know, she's got this list that's so crazy. Her list is the least of her problems. Her having unrealistic standards. When I see that, that doesn't strike me as, oh yeah, that's why she's single. Although that plays a part, she's single because she's one of the most emotionally unavailable women out there. Many of you know Chili had an abortion back in the day with the producer dude. And she said on the show, when she was going through her counseling, she literally cried herself to sleep every night for 7 years. You know, she went into the relationship with Usher being emotionally unavailable based on what she had done in her past. So is it any surprise Usher turned out to be what? What do I say? Go ahead, everybody say it along with me. The liar, the dog, the cheater, the heartbreaker, the manipulator. That's what happens when you meet, when you go into a relationship, when you're in an emotionally unavailable state. You know, that's what's going to happen. That's what's happened with Sherry Shepherd. That's what happened, unfortunately, with a lot of these celebrities out here. They're starting these relationships off. Halle Berry, Kim Kardashian. I mean, just go down the list. You name them. You know, all emotionally unavailable women ending up in relationship turmoil. We did a classic show on where we discussed Pam Grier. You know what I mean? How she was back in the day having an affair with Richard Pryor. Now look at her. You know, about 70 years old. Doesn't look like she did when she was prancing around half naked, does she? You know, still single to this day. You know what I mean? You cannot escape the effects of emotional unavailability. You've got to deal with it. You've got to heal from it. And then and only then is when you're going to be able to find true love that God intends you to be with. Amanda, we talk about this stuff all the time. Any thoughts on those numbers? Sherry Shepherd, some of those popular names, Halle Berry, Kim K. What are your thoughts, Amanda?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we can look at a plethora of examples in Hollywood. Sherry Shepherd, she's really loud, and she always has to have, you know, her voice heard. She feels the need to prove herself. And I just feel like we make excuses for so many black actresses and models. It's just the black community has accepted mediocrity for so long that it's become, like, normal. Like, mediocrity. Anything that's just, like, to the left or anything that's just, like, you know, twerked or skewed, it's like we love it. And it really is the enemy, and it roots all the way back from black enslavement, but that's a whole other show. But it really is Satan, you know, giving us a completely different identity from what God intended for us to have. So anything that's right doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel good. Anything that's bad, it feels good. And so, like you said, it's okay for, you know, Lil Wayne, Beyonce, Rihanna to talk about, you know, having sex at a young age and being promiscuous and actually wanting pain in their life. But then we have a whole uproar if, you know, some white person says that, you know, black women are ghetto or black women are loud or I don't like black women that wear weaves.
Right. Or Mary J. Blige singing about chicken. You know, that's a problem, but Beyonce can say, I may be young, but I'm ready to give you all my love. You know, I'm only 16 years old, but let me just go ahead and give you all my love. Let's start, you know, let's go ahead and make up some cute dances, and you guys go ahead and start having sex at a young age. You know, it's okay for her to sing about Satan. It's okay for Lil Wayne to disrespect black women, but let somebody else from another race say something that even remotely resembles a racist comment, then it's a problem. You know, Satan is not racist. You know, Satan is not just targeting the black community, but his goal is to keep everyone single and alone. And please, I'm not in the white community per se. You know, I'm a black man, so I see a lot of the stuff I see firsthand of how the devil is using various people in the black community to keep us oppressed. But please understand, he's got ways of getting to everybody. Maybe it's in a different way. I haven't really analyzed the music of some of these heavy metal rock bands that sell millions and millions of records. I'm pretty sure you'll find a lot of demonic imagery in there as well. You know, but I'm more familiar with the Jay-Z's, the Kanye West, the Rihanna's, you know, all those beyond all that stuff that's filled with satanic and demonic imagery and lyrics, and he's using that. He's using messages of sexuality. You know, and it's just he's using these radio station executives to only play sexual music, violent music, gun, you know, it's all, that's how he's getting and keeping the black community oppressed. Abortion. The devil knows the emotional effect that abortion will have on black women. That's why he's, you know, telling you these lies that start out as childhood, that start out, you know, as your children, that will institute that level of low self-esteem that will lead to the promiscuity, that will lead to the sex, then the STDs, then the pregnancies, then the abortions, then the guilt, the shame, which leads to more promiscuity, more abortions, which leads to more, you know, just, and that's how he's going to keep you single. You know, what I do with my private counseling sessions is help get to the root of the initial lie. You know what I mean? You got to find the root, the first lie the devil told you, you know, the first group of lies that caused you to think that way about yourself that started the downward spiral, you know, towards emotional abuse. That's what I do. Check out the new website, TolbertRelationshipCounseling.com. Send me an email, AskDeDon@TolbertRelationshipCounseling. if that's something you guys struggle with. You know, I do this all day, every day. I'm speaking from personal experience. I speak to these women all day, every day. This stuff has to change. You know, it's not going to change on its own. Now, like I said, Chili, I mean, Reverend Ann, I mean, were you familiar with some of these big-time names? I mean, the Chili's having multiple Sherry Shepherd having multiple abortions, Chili's abortion with, I can't remember that dude's name, but the producer guy. Any thoughts on that?
I did not hear Sherry Shepherd talk about the multiple abortions that she has had, but I mean, if we think about the statistics of how many babies have been aborted, it's not surprising that women of all economic levels have had abortions, from women who have degrees to women who don't have degrees, from women who have no money or little money to women who have lots of money. But at the end of the day, I think it goes back to what we're talking about, is that it's an epidemic. We need to begin to make a noise about it. It's out of control. We need to figure out why it's happening in our community at such a rapid rate. We need to figure out how to help women make better choices with their bodies, with their sexual companions, and with their lives, if they call themselves Christians, as to the decisions that they have to make when they're choosing persons to whom they should date. And at the end of the day, you know, if women today just decided, I'm not having sex with men who are not my spouse, that they will find love, because men can't have sex with you unless you allow them to have sex with you. And I know it's a difficult, you know, people talk about, well, how do you do it? And, you know, it goes back to the thing that we feed the most is the thing that will have the loudest voice. And so, you know, it's about feeding yourself with the Word of God, feeding yourself with things that positively fill your soul, feeding yourself with the Word of God that tells you that you are wonderful and that you're beautiful and that God loves you and that God has a purpose and a plan for you, and defeating the devil, for he is destroying us through this rate of genocide in our community.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's why people love you, Reverend Ann. I mean, you know, you definitely, you know, keep it real. I'm getting a lot of positive feedback about you and your views and the things that you're that, you know, the fresh new perspective that you're bringing to the show. So definitely keep up the good work. A couple other things, just in regards to the emotional effects of abortions. I mean, a lot of women end up living with regret, bitterness towards men. I mean, imagine that. I mean, some of you don't even have to imagine, but me, obviously, as a man, I have to kind of imagine. But who wants to kill something that's inside of them? Like I said at the beginning of the show, nobody wants to have an abortion. But the only reason you do it is because you feel hopeless. You feel powerlessness. And that those things, as Reverend Ann knows, being certified in belief therapy, those are things specifically from the devil, straight from the devil. Powerlessness, hopelessness, two of the top eight lies the devil uses to hold us down and keep us oppressed. There are always other options. God can always make a way. You know, the Bible says that anytime you're faced with any type of temptation to commit sin, he will always give you a way out every single time. There's never hopelessness is of the devil. So if it's not hopelessness, then that means there's a way that you can get out of that particular situation. So if abortion is a sin, trust me, there are ways out of that where God will make it okay. Rape, incest, whatever. No money, whatever. He can hook it up. God will never make you sin to come out of a situation in a better in a better way. But yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, If you allow a man to push you to that point of sinning against God, to altering your body with some type of major medical procedure, killing your child, there's no way you're not going to have some bitterness towards men as a whole. I can guarantee it. You know, a lot of these women walking around out here, I go to the supermarket sometimes. I go to buy a pack of gum. I go to play the lottery. I go to, say, you know, get a loaf of bread, whatever it is. You know, some of these women, specifically black women, look at me like I'm crazy. They give me the ice grill like they want to shoot me. I'm like, hey, you know, they don't even ask me, do I want fries with that? They just give me a mean look. I'm like, whoa, what did I do with you? I mean, did I know you, you know, in a previous life or something? But it's just that they hate me, and they don't even know me because they know what other men like me or who look like me or who resemble me have done to them. I saw it today. I see it every day. I go into a City Blue, some of these ghetto hood rat stores in the mall, and if you're from Philly, Sheltenham Mall, you guys know anything about that? Just pick you, whatever state you're in, whatever city you're in, the local ghetto mall, you know, with all these ridiculous black stores in it. You know, I just walk in. They don't say anything to me. They look at me like I'm crazy. No customer service, no hello, what can I help you with? You need help with anything? I mean, I can't even get service in a black store. I go into the Chinese store. Oh, hey, how you doing? Hey, what do you need help with? You know what I'm saying? I get better service from Chinese people than I do my own people. You know what I'm saying? I'm not the one who had sex with you. I'm not the one who caused you to have an abortion. That's what it does to you. It causes you to have bitterness and almost certain level of hatred towards men as a whole. That's part of the emotional effect that it has on you. You can talk about, you know, you rationalize and justify it all you want to, but it will affect you. I can promise you that. You know what I mean? Reverend, any thoughts on that?
You're so right. But the funny part of it is that people don't even realize, because a lot of times the reactions and the feelings are subconscious, and it has become just a part of the psyche and who they are and how they operate, that they don't even realize the aura or the spirit that they're giving off in their attitude, because it has just been entrenched in them, the hurt, the pain that's deep down inside, and so that it's projected on that person or that thing that looks or reminds them, and so they really need to deal with where the pain comes from, where, you know, when people are just nasty for no reason, you know, what I say to people is I don't get nasty back with them. I pray for them because there's something in them. There's something that is in them that they are hurt and they have not dealt with the pain. And so you're right. You know, that's why we get so many. It's funny. I was asked that I want to go to a play, a black play. And I said, well, you know, I went to a couple of black plays many, many years ago, and I stopped going because it's the same thing. Black men are dolls. Black women have to get over it. And I'm like, how long are we going to talk about that? How long is that going to be an issue until we deal with it and make some better choices? Because if black men are dolls, it's because women are allowing them to be dolls. Because they can't do anything to us that we don't allow. I'm going to keep saying that. They can't do anything to us that we don't allow.
Right. And we're not talking, I mean, it's so refreshing to hear, like I said, there's a very small percentage of African-American women who will have the courage to say exactly what Reverend Ann just said. You know, that's why Monday night show was so classic, where we had about five or six women on the line all saying the same exact thing, and I'm like, whoa. You know, for the longest time, women were calling me misogynistic because I'm saying stuff, but now I got a little bit of backup. I got Reverend Ann saying the same thing. I've got Bougie Girl saying, I got Amanda, I got Courtney, I got Safina. You know, actually great women saying, hey, look, black women, keep your legs closed. That's it. We're not talking about rapists here. We're not even talking about the molesters. We're talking about men that you allow to penetrate you. That's it. Now we're going to do. You know how we do these shows, man. This is one, like all these classic shows, we save the Bible verses, what God says about this stuff, for the very end, whether it's our show on what the Bible says about the definition of a great woman, what the Bible says about the definition of marriage, what the Bible says about sex, you know what I'm saying, what the Bible says about promiscuity, the term whore, the origin of the term whore, which we aired last night. All of these shows are classic shows because not because we're talking about it in the realest way ever heard on talk radio, but because we're saying exactly what the Bible says about it. And we're going to do that. We're going to put the exclamation point on it in a few minutes from what actual biblical scriptures, what they say, what it says about abortion and about murder. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what it is. We're going to start calling it what it is. Let's stop calling it abortion. Let's start calling it murder. Calling it genocide of black children, black babies. Right? Now, but before we do that, let's talk about some statistics. Let's see what's actually going on out here. I'm just going to read them. I'm just going to run them off. And these statistics will blow your mind. And one of them is that minority women constitute only about 13% of the female population, and that's between the ages of 15 and 44 here in the United States. However, they underwent approximately 36% of abortions in this country. How do you only constitute 13% of the female population but undergo 36% of abortions? Does anybody see a problem with that except me? That's a huge problem. All right, that's a lot of abortions. Reverend, as a minority, as an African-American woman, hearing that statistic, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think I'll go back to the statement I made earlier that I was blown away.
Flabbergasted?
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said flabbergasted.
That's a good word. That's a good word. But not only that, beyond that, I was saddened. I was saddened, I think, because we have become our own worst enemy. We don't need the KKK anymore. We don't need Jim Crow. We don't need slavery. We have become our own slave masters, our own lynchers, right here in our own community. And it saddens me that we have strayed so far from where God would have us to be. We've strayed so far from the God that freed us from slavery, from the God that got rid of segregation, from the God that saved your grandmother and my great-grandmother and all those who picked cotton and were in the fields. We have strayed so far away from who we are that beyond flabbergasted, I was just sad and tearful. And I'm not just speaking about people who may be listening. I include myself in that because if one of us suffers, all of us suffers. If one of us has an issue, all of us has an issue because we're all a part of the community. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We all miss the mark. We all need mercy and grace. And so when I say that we've strayed, I include myself in that, that we have all strayed. And the Bible says that when my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then God will hear and God will heal the land. And so he's just waiting on us. He's waiting on us to cry out and he'll heal us and he'll make it better.
Right. And that's really all it is. And if you guys, just kind of going back briefly to the, you know, the comments about the emotional effect that it has. I mean, I have pretty thick skin, you know, and like I was saying, I could post 100 status updates, but, you know, one status update about abortion, one about maybe something about Taraji, you know, people I've never even heard of, didn't even know were on my Facebook page, will literally attack me personally. You know, I don't delete any comments. Go ahead, check them all out. You see, you just see the level of hurt. I mean, they will write me freaking essays, you know, trying to, you know, bring me down, discredit me. But at the end of the day, it's clear that what's being said is hitting them in the gut. You don't get that. Just anyone listen. I know you all secretly listen out there. All the haters, all the Facebook debate, you all listen to the show. Keep it real. And I'm talking to you, I'm just saying, don't get mad at me. Just pray about it. You know what I mean? Just ask God to forgive you. Ask God to let that hurt be taken away from you. You don't have to attack me. You don't have to attack, you know, people like Safina or Reverend Ann. You don't have to lash out. You know, it'll be all right. You just got to really deal with those issues internally. And so you don't have to call in. You don't have to press 1. You don't have to like the status updates or anything like that. But just know that it's not that bad. It's not as bad as you think. Now, couple back to these statistics. And like I said earlier, estimated since 1973, 16 million abortions in the among African American women. 16 million. That is a lot. That's more people than even graduate from college. You know what I mean? There aren't 16 million people that graduate. I haven't researched it, but I'm willing to bet 16 million black people have not graduated from college since 1973. So we have more abortions than college graduates. That's a problem. You understand what I'm saying to y'all? That's a huge problem. 57% of black pregnancies in this country end in abortion. 57%. Do you guys know that? 70% are born into, that are actually born, that make it, that actually are fortunate enough to make it into life. They actually, you know, got a ticket into this world, and they actually, 70% of black babies are born into single parent homes, the single, you know, single moms. However, 57% of overall black pregnancies end in abortion, right? Over half. You know, for white women, that number is 20%, and overall, the overall percentage is 39%, and that is according to the 2011 U.S. Department of Health. 57% of black pregnancies. Reverend Ann, how about that number?
Yeah, that 57%, that's, you know, staggering. But I don't know if you got the same statistic. I read a statistic somewhere that said, you know, that of that, 85% of the women were single. And that, like you said, 50% of them, the numbers are beyond, what do I want to say? I just keep going back to sad, Daydon. But you know what? I appreciate you bringing this to the forefront because really, if you had not said we were going to do abortion tonight, I would have still probably been of the myth that black women on a whole, as a whole, do not have abortions. I mean, because like I said, we did not. And so for these numbers to be so staggering to this point, we have to continue to wave the banner. We have to continue. I'm probably going to start some sort of post on my newfound Facebook page so that those persons who did not listen in tonight can hear the statistics, they can see the statistics, and that they can do the research themselves. And so hopefully this will be a wave, and we will do something about it.
Yeah, hopefully so, because, I mean, it's one of those things that something needs to be done, and the only way it's going to change is if people like me, people like you, you know, just step up and start talking about these uncomfortable issues that nobody wants to talk about. Everybody's afraid to get into. I mean that's amazing. I mean, I didn't know it was this bad, but not only you, I mean, you thought that they didn't even have, black women didn't have abortions like that, but in reality, they have more abortions than any other race, the highest rate of abortions in any race in this whole country. That's a staggering statistic. I said online, abortion is the leading cause of death in the black community. And so why is everybody so afraid to talk about it? Now, I know it's getting late, and let's talk about what the Bible says, though. And in regards to that verse, though, that from earlier on in the evening that I was trying to get, I'm going to go ahead and read it. Now, this is in Exodus 21, verse 22 through 25. And it says, when men strive together and hit a pregnant woman to the point where her children come out, but there is no harm or death, the one who hit her shall surely be fined, as the woman's husband shall impose on him. And he shall pay as the judges of the land determine. However, if there is harm or death, then you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, and stripe for stripe. And that's a deep verse right there. You know what I mean? And that basically right there is talking about the law. You know what I mean? It's like if you steal, you get a certain punishment. You know, if you lie, you get a certain punishment. You know, if you kill somebody, well, then you get that punishment as well. You know, the crime basically should fit, the punishment should fit the crime. Reverend Ann, how about that verse? That's, to me, I mean, it's a pretty deep verse. Any interpretation, any additional interpretation that you might have about it?
Yeah, you know, what it says to me is that to God, a child is a sacred entity, a sacred being. God does not arbitrarily put things in the Bible. There's a reason that God puts things in the Bible. There's a reason that God speaks on a particular issue in the way that God speaks on it. So the mere fact that God would say that if you harm a child, that there is a punishment in that, that is a living being, that child is to be seen as a living entity, even though you may not see it or see her or him, that it is very important. And I think that ties back to the, if we think about it, he tells us in Genesis, or he told Adam and Eve, which really then passes down to us, is that we're supposed to procreate. We're supposed to fill the world with children, and we're supposed to have babies and make families. So that's very important to God.
Right, absolutely. These are some deep, I agree with you 100%. And that's, I'm just now realizing the importance within the last several years as to really reading the Bible. Now, before it was like something I just kind of did because, you know, it's what you were supposed to do. But now I literally, there are very few things that are more entertaining to me than reading the Bible. I know that may sound weird if you're not into it, but literally it's the most entertaining book there is. It's the most knowledgeable and informative book that there is. Like Reverend Ann just said, there's nothing that's just put in there coincidentally. It specifically speaks to this law, today's society. You know, even today within the black community, there's so much stuff that's in there that can change lives. Here's another great one. And this is in regards to the commandments. This is in Romans 13:9. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that's in Romans 13:9. So, I mean, and there's so many that speak about the Ten Commandments and, you know, the various commandments and how you should live life, not murdering, not stealing, not coveting, you know, and other, all types of stuff. And that's just another one that speaks directly to murder. You know, there's no justification for murder. There are justifiable killings. You know, all killings are not murders. Understand? There's certain times in today's society when it's even in biblically where it's okay to kill, or it's justified to kill. Abortion, biblically, is not one of those things. You know what I mean? Nothing. And people. It's interesting watching some of these debates and hearing the things, and it's like very few people are speaking from a biblical perspective. You guys notice that? Even in the 40, 50 comments, whatever it is on that, you know, that post, that even the people that are pro-choice, there's no way that they can back up a pro-choice argument within the Bible. And if it's nowhere in the Bible, then how valid can that rationale or justification be? It's a rhetorical question. It can't be. It's not justified. Right. Now, here's another one, and this is in Deuteronomy 27:25 says, and this is a deep one right here. Cursed be anyone who takes a bribe to shed innocent blood, and all the people shall say amen. And that's, I mean, think about that for a second. And that's kind of like what I just said. You know, a lot of times what people do is they kind of play games with themselves. They tempt God. They say, well, I was raped, so it's okay, you know, or I was a victim of molestation, so it's okay for me to go ahead and kill this baby. I don't have any money, so it's all right. See, that's the bribe. You know, you get pulled over, you're driving down the street, you get pulled over by a cop. You offer that cop some money to you know, that's wrong, to let you slide from running that stop sign or going through that red light. You offer the cop some money. That's a, you're bribing that police officer to do a bad thing. Well, what's going on here is the devil's bribing you. He's getting in your head. He's getting into your mind saying, you know what, it's okay. Just go ahead and kill the baby. You know, that way you'll be able to keep your money. That way, you know, you won't be tied to that man for the next 18 years. You know, you don't want to carry the baby of a rapist or a molester. Go ahead. But what you have to realize is that's a bribe. You just are being bribed by the devil. The Bible says, cursed be anyone who takes a bribe to shed innocent blood. Babies are innocent. You're shedding that baby's blood. The Bible says, cursed. There are certain things called generational curses, which I'm sure we'll have a show on in the very near future. Those are real. They're biblical. You guys are wondering why years later. You're wondering why Chili, for whatever reason. Can you imagine that? She said on the air, Google it, look it up on YouTube. She said, I cried myself to sleep every single night for 7 years. That's a lot of crying. You know what I mean? That's a curse. You know what I mean? That's not normal. Usually you're upset about something, you get over. It usually doesn't take 7 years straight to get over something. But the Bible says when you shed innocent blood, you're going to go through some things. It's going to be extra. It's not just going to be your typical guilt or your typical, you know, being upset. It says, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 27:25, it says, cursed be anyone who takes a bribe to shed innocent blood. If you guys don't think for a second that that's talking about abortion, I don't know what to tell you, because I believe it 100% is. But that's just my interpretation of it. You can go ahead, and I'm sure the pro-life people will take it to mean something totally different and act like it doesn't, you know what I'm saying? But that's between you and God. Reverend Ann, what are your thoughts on that, though?
Absolutely. You know, one of the toughest things about reading the word is that it cuts you. But the Bible says that the word is like a two-edged sword, and it is good for rebuking, it's good for correcting. And the whole point of the Bible is to show us ourselves and how far we are from the righteousness of who God is, and not to condemn us, but so that we can repent and turn back towards God, so that if we were on a road that was leading us away, if we did have faulty thinking, if we did have what I've heard from a pastor in the past, stinky thinking, then the Bible gives us the words, it gives us the food, it gives us the nourishment so that we can then say, you know what, I'm on the path to destruction. I'm on the path to hell. I am on the path to not having that abundant life that Jesus said. And so at the end of the day, you're right. Shed blood is shed blood. But as I always do, I want to say thank God for God's grace and mercy, that at the very moment that we get a revelation that we are in the wrong, at that very moment that we repent, at that very moment that we ask God for forgiveness, God is able and willing and waiting to forgive and to cover us with grace. And so if there's a woman out there who has had an abortion, what I'm saying to you is that, yes, it was wrong, and yes, it was against God, but God is waiting for you to repent, ask for forgiveness, and he can heal you so that you don't cry for 7 years. He can heal you with the right counsel, with the right advice, and put you on a path for a purpose that he has planned for you from the day that you were born.
Right. That's exactly what it is. And the great thing about it, now, as you all know, Deuteronomy is in the Old Testament. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things in the Old Testament that became, like we talked about on last night's show, that became kind of null and void once Jesus Christ died for our sins. But that being said, that doesn't change the way God feels about them. The Old Testament is strictly God's word, straight from God. There's no kind of liaison, so to speak. It's straight from God, and you get an opportunity. That's why both testaments are very important, because you get an opportunity to actually hear how God feels about a lot of issues. That's why last night's show on whore, on prostitution, promiscuity, that, you know what I'm saying, we got a chance to hear in Ezekiel 23 what God says about sex, you know, and those who engage in it. But a couple more. This is deep stuff right here. I told you, there's nothing entertaining about this. This is real life stuff right here. You know, I don't even know what to call this, man. This is straight from God. I believe this show, you know, what we're talking about tonight is really what God wants you to know. You think God sees these statistics and hears these statistics and is pleased? He's looking for people. He's waiting for people to step up and talk about this stuff and finally start speaking from his word. His word is here and it's been here, and people have been ignoring it, and nobody's even interpreting. Even the preachers and the teachers aren't interpreting his word the way he wants him to do it. You know, this is the whole point of it, is to help people stop killing each other, stop killing babies. You know, people want to read the Bible and just take the positive, happy-go-lucky points out of it, and everybody hold hands and sing Kumbaya. I mean, it's more than that. You know what I'm saying? You got to really start talking about the real issues that the Bible speaks about. Bible says right here in Genesis 9:6, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. And that's in Genesis 9:6. Write these down, man, because these verses has the potential to change your life. This is straight from God's mouth right here. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man his blood shall be shed, for God made man in his own image. So it's basically saying if you kill man, if you take a life, you know, I mean, you guys, come on, you don't need me to interpret this stuff for you. You know what I'm saying? You know what it says. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man his blood shall be shed. You're shedding blood when you kill a baby. This show tonight is on abortion and what God says about it and how God feels about it. All this stuff is no different. I think that the problem is people aren't looking at it as murder. People aren't looking at it as the shed of blood. They're thinking of it as some type of a surgical procedure, some type of medical. It's not a medical procedure. It's a medical murder. You understand what I'm saying to y'all? Amanda, I know you're over there taking notes. You like to take notes about. I see a couple calls on the line. We'll take calls as well. What are your thoughts, though, Amanda?
Yeah, I'm over here working and, you know, writing down some good points that you're saying. But it's true. We can't settle for being complacent in our walks with Christ. Unfortunately, in our culture, we're already raised kind of like, you know, with Christian values, but we don't necessarily apply it aggressively and take everything into consideration. And that really comes with maturity and, like you say all the time, self-reflection. You have to be honest with yourself and the things that you need to work on. And you were saying earlier that a lot of times black women don't like to hear, you know, keep your legs closed, keep your legs closed. And that's really an issue when you have such a, you know, anger that builds up inside of you when you hear those words and you're living that lifestyle. And I think it has to also do with, you know, strength in black women and not wanting to be submissive to a man. It's like you're a man telling them this. So they're like, whoa, like, you know, who do you think you are? Like, nigga, please. You know, it's like that whole attitude. And, you know, we need to adopt a new, you know, ideology of just humbleness is the key. Let go of that strength. Like, let God be God. Let men be men.
Right. Amanda, great advice as always. That's why I like having you here. See a call here on the line from the 631 area code. Welcome to the Dayton Tolbert Show. Are you there, 631? Okay, maybe they just want to listen in. See another call here from Phil. Take calls, though, man. If y'all got questions, don't be shy. You know, press 1, take your phone off mute. See another call from the Philly area code, 267-331 area code. Welcome to the Dayton Tolbert Show.
Good evening, Dayton. I was listening to the whole show, and I just want to say to God be the glory that you're even talking about this, because so many people do listen to you and follow you. I am pro-life, and I have been pro-life for some time, and I'm very, very well familiar with how the black community at large is, that has embraced abortion to such a great scale. Just to give you a little bit of information, I sent you some information through your Facebook page. A lot of people are not aware that Planned Parenthood was founded by Margaret Sanger, which was a, she was a white Ku Klux Klan member, and it was getting close to the time where slavery was, where slavery, where it was transitioning from releasing slaves, and they were trying to figure out a way to keep the, it was actually called the Negro Plan, to eliminate Negroes, to stop the population of black people growing, because she felt as though that they were feeble-minded. And a lot of us know about slavery and the racism at that time. On a spiritual level, for many of us, no, it is not God's will for us to take a life, an innocent life. I do agree with you when you make the statement of that the death penalty and abortion is not the same. Sometimes, as it has been repeated several times during the discussion, it's an excuse, and we chose to stay ignorant, and we don't want to take the accountability for the choices that we have made as women, as black women, as black men, and it's still the same thing. And you also made the statement for our Satan plan, and what his overall plan is that Satan, you know, the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is death at the end of the day. So Satan's ultimate plan will to be able to stop God's creation, because God is the God of life. So if I can get you to abort all your babies, if I can get everybody to be into same-sex marriages, if I can just get everybody to denounce life and live death, the wages of sin is death, you know, he feels as though that he has defeated God. And so many of us has embraced the way of the world, the secular mindset in terms of our marriages, in terms of how we raise our children. We don't uplift. We don't bring in discipline. We don't bring in structure. Everything is, oh, well, if that go, I'll roll with that. And this is really sad, but I'm going to keep you in prayer, because I know a lot of people are going to come at you, because a lot of people feel as though, oh, it's not that serious, it's not that deep, you know, I slept with someone and I don't like him now, or he don't like me, or we're not connected, and an innocent child life is lost in the midst of that. Or some women decide to have the children and still be emotionally detached from the child because of their own wounds. And when we take a life of an innocent baby inside the womb, it's just like the spirit of death has been lodged in our womb, in our heart, in our mind. So that's where the depression comes in. That's where the bitterness comes in. And all those things are the root of the enemy to eliminate the life of God. And we just really have to pray for each other and pray for the body of Christ, because it's consistently in the, I won't say the name of the church, but I attended this church for many years, and I used to really try to talk to a lot of people, but it was a lot of teen girls, and abortion, them having abortion was, and I'm not exaggerating, like us, you know, drinking a cup of water. They took it as it was a birth control pill. And, excuse me. Life.
Don't give them too much. Don't give them too much. But let me just say this. Let me just, not just because we're short on time, I want to say this. Like, first thing you said is the most important thing. You said a lot. which is great. And everything you said was 100% on point. But the first and most important thing you said was to God be the glory, because everything you said, not one thing that you said was not straight from God's mouth. You know what I'm saying? And that is exactly what this show is all about. It's that information that people need to hear. It's the information that people try to ignore. And just from start to finish. And I wish we had more time, because I could just have you talk and just listen, because I'm just listening. Like, I saw the information you sent me. I didn't get a chance to open it and really research it like I want to, but I'm so glad that you called in and shared it, because you're right. I know about the origin of Planned Parenthood. I know about the devil's plan but the problem is so many people don't know about that. And it's so great that this show is blessed by God, because he places people, in all together. You look at like people like Amanda, Safina, Courtney, Reverend Ann, myself, the Gerald Howards, just so many key people that have been able to bring about positivity, even random callers like yourself and other random callers we've had over the years, just giving some of the greatest advice and information that's ever been heard, period. That's what God wants, and I'm thankful that he's able to just multiply these listeners every single night. I don't know if y'all know that, but our listenership, the ratings, like double and triple every single night. I just did a session with somebody in Singapore. You know what I'm saying? Switzerland, Holland. These people are listening all over Hong Kong. And that's what I'm saying to y'all. That's nothing but God. So again, thank you from calling in from the Philly area. Reverend Ann, she said a lot. Anything that you wanted to, any thoughts you had about the information she provided?
Well, it's part of actually the information that I saw as well when I was doing my research on abortion. So I did see that information about the whole Planned Parenthood. But for as much as the Bible says that no weapon formed against us and prosper. And if it does prosper, it's because we allow it to prosper. It's because we take actions that allow that tool of Satan to take hold in our lives. Satan has no control over us unless we give Satan control over us. So, yes, she was part of the KKK, and yes, poverty is an issue in our community, and yes, and I can go on and on and on with reasons why, but at the end of the day, Daydon, at the end of the day, it's still a choice. God gives us two paths. He sets it in front of us. He gives us two choices, and he says, you choose. This is what happens when you take my path, and this is what happens when you take Satan's path. There's no in between, but that's just what it is. And regardless of whatever excuses we can come up with for why the epidemic is the way it is, at the end of the day, it's because of choices that we as black women are making every day or not making every day that is causing this epidemic. We can't blame the white man. We can't blame the lack of education. We have to look at ourselves and look in the mirror and make a decision that today will be a different day because I know better now.
That's great advice. And, it's funny because I believe that if God had one of those signs, I posted the picture, the little image online of the two signs, pro-choice or pro-life, I believe God would be pro-choice. That's the funniest thing about it, because when you look at how God what the Bible says, he doesn't impede our free will. He doesn't make everybody do right. You guys ever notice that? That would not mean he would be a loving God. That would mean he would be a controlling God. God gives us choices, just like Reverend Ann said. You all have a choice, but there will be consequences. And that's what this show is about. This show isn't about judgment. This isn't about pro-life. This is about the decisions that you make and the effect it's having on yourself, as well as the overall effect that they're having on the black community. And I think that's what we have to get back to That's how we need to look at it. It's not about, you know, what the law says. It's about what morality says. It's about what the Bible says, you know, and he gives us this information. He, you know, anyone listening within the sound of my voice, you've heard from God tonight. You've heard what the Bible says on this subject. Now, if you hear that, you now become accountable to that. You now know, okay, God, what God says about murder. You know what God says about being sexually immoral. In fact, I'm looking at a scripture right here in Revelations 21:8, and this is the last scripture that we're going to do. It says, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all the liars, their portion will be in the lake of fire that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Now, I mean, that verse is pretty much, that's the last Bible in the book, if you guys know. I mean, that's speaking about where people go based on their decisions. If you guys don't understand, as for the cowardly, the people who don't believe in God, the faithless, the detestable, you know, the murderers, the freaks, the hoes, it says the sexually immoral, you know, all that stuff, the homosexuals, the you know, the people who run the trains, and, you know, all that weird stuff, the porn pedophiles, you know, all that stuff, sorcerers, all that people calling the psychic hotline, that's sorcery right there. That psychic stuff, all this stuff with the secret, everybody's subscribing to that foolishness, that's the sorcery, idolaters. People worshiping idols, putting money over God, all that Illuminati stuff, worshiping false gods, all this foolishness. That's, you know, the liars, it says. The people who are, all that stuff. It says their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire. What do you think the lake that burns with fire is? You know, fire and sulfur. It burns, it's a lake of hell. You know what I'm saying? Which is the second death. It's like basically, imagine if you burn to death and that's how you died. It says this is the second death, but it's going to be 10 times worse. So I'm just telling y'all, like, y'all can play around with it if you want to. You know, you can ignore it if you want to. You can debate on Facebook if you want to. But the reality is here. You know, and I'm not saying there's always, like Ann said, there's always an opportunity to repent and to say you're sorry. But it's continuously saying the same things, doing the same things, believing the same things, and expect and never repenting, never saying you're sorry. You know, protesting, pro-choice. What about this? I mean, God isn't happy with that. He tells you blatantly right here what happens. It's your fate will be the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. Now, people will look at me and say, well, Dayton, you're being judgmental. Who are you to say that you're going to hell? I'm not saying you're going to hell. Revelations 21:8 is saying that. So I'll be the bad guy. You know what I mean? You guys want to be mad at me? That's fine. But the Bible is what it is, and it says what it says. And that's it. Reverend Ann, let them know where they can keep up with you. Any last-minute words that you want to leave the people with?
Know that God loves you. Know that every mistake, there are consequences, but you can turn around. And know that I love you, that I'm here, and I'm doing this because of my love for God's people, because I want everybody to have an abundant life just as God does. So you can reach me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook now. Yay!
Yay! And
I've been fighting it, but I'm up. So Ann Colley, C-O-L-L-E-Y, or you can hit me at revannncolley@gmail.com.
Rev,
so thanks again, Daydon. It's revannncolley, C-O-L-L-E-Y, @gmail.com.
Cool. Wait, Reverend Ann, it's great to have you here as always. People are saying you're the perfect balance to me. I give it to them straight in their face. Unadulterated, you know, love me, hate me, it is what it is. Y'all know I don't care. But, you know, it's great to have you there to kind of soften the blow, you know, give it to them same information, but just a nicer, sweeter, you know, way, which is great. That's what balances this show out. And, you know, I just want, and like, but at the same time, like Reverend Ann said, she loves you. I love you guys too. You know what I mean? I promise you, I wouldn't be up at 11:30 at night here on the East Coast, having woken up, you know, doing sessions, counseling sessions from 8:30 until, you know what I mean, almost nonstop until it's time to go in the air. But that's only because I genuinely love you guys. I have a specific passion for loving black women and helping black women avoid many of the uncomfortable circumstances. And we talk a lot about that. That's our mission statement. There aren't too many more uncomfortable circumstances than abortion. So, which is why I wanted to, you know, I've been letting this topic mentally marinate for years, actually. There's a reason we've been on the air for 4 years, and I've never really gotten to this. I was waiting for the perfect time. I believe that time was tonight, and, you know, we did it. And so, look, guys, if you need help, like Reverend Ann said, get that counseling. Check out TolbertCounseling.com. I'm doing premarital counseling right now as well, five-week workshop. If you guys are planning on getting married, or you have a dispute with your spouse or your mate, definitely you know, email me right on the contact form right there at TolbertRelationshipCounseling.com or ask Dadon at TolbertRelationshipCounseling.com. You guys can also call the toll-free Ask Dadon advice hotline anywhere in the world. You need advice, I do private counseling anywhere, teleconference, 855-55-DADON, email me. Call me, and any time of night, and that's it, guys. If you're looking for advice, get your copy of What Women Need to Know But Don't Want to Hear. It's on sale right now at DadonTolbert.com. Thank y'all for listening. We're back live tomorrow night. I'll be here. Reverend Ann will be here. I don't know what could be better. I'll keep you posted on the topic, but thank you for listening to tonight's show, and y'all have a good night. Peace.
Bring back the joy to my life. Don't